and it quotes in Miracles Workbook. It's called "I Am Sustained by the Love of God." So just let yourself kind of like let today drift off. Just relax. You deserve it after what you went through today. I am sustained by the love of God is the answer to every problem that will confront you today, tomorrow, and throughout time. In this world, you believe you are sustained by everything but God. Your faith is placed in the most trivial, insane symbols, pills, money, protective clothing, influence, prestige, being liked, knowing the right people, and an endless list of forms of nothingness that you endow with magical powers. Pills, money, protective clothing, influence, prestige, being liked, knowing the right people, these things are replacements for the love of God. Have put your faith in pills, money, protective clothing, influence, prestige, being liked, knowing the right people. All these things are cherished to ensure a body identification. Putting all your faith in pills, money, protective clothing, influence, prestige, being liked, knowing the right people are songs of praise to your fear. Do not put your faith in the worthless. The worthless will not sustain you. Only the love of God will protect you in all circumstances. God's love will lift you out of every trial and raise you high above all the perceived dangers of this world into a climate of perfect peace and safety. The love of God within you will transport you into a state of mind that nothing can threaten, nothing can disturb, and where nothing can intrude upon your eternal calm. Do not put your faith in pills, money, protective clothing, influence, prestige, and being liked. It will fail you. Put all your faith in the love of God within you. Put all of your faith in that which is eternal, changeless, and forever unfailing in you. Put your faith in what is eternal, changeless, and forever unfailing. This is the answer to whatever confronts you today. Through the love of God within you, you can resolve all seeming difficulties without effort and ensure confidence. Tell yourself this often today. Through the love of the truth within me, I can resolve all seeming difficulties without effort and ensure confidence. Through the love of the truth within me, I can resolve all seeming difficulties without effort and ensure confidence. Through the love of God within you, you can resolve all seeming difficulties without effort and ensure confidence. Through the love of the Creator within you, you can resolve all seeming difficulties without effort and ensure confidence. Tell yourself, through the love of God within me, I can resolve all seeming difficulties without effort and ensure confidence often today. Saying that through the love of God within you, you can resolve all seeming difficulties without effort and ensure confidence is a declaration of release from the belief in fears, idols. To say that you place your faith in the love of God within you and let it resolve all seeming difficulties without effort and ensure confidence is your acknowledgement of the truth about yourself. You deserve all of your difficulties to be resolved without effort and ensure confidence. You deserve to have a resolution of all seeming difficulties without effort and ensure confidence. You deserve to have all your seeming difficulties removed without effort and ensure confidence. It's a declaration of release from the belief in fears. It's your acknowledgement of the truth about yourself to say, I am sustained by the love of my Creator. I am sustained by the love of my Creator. I am sustained by the love of God. I am sustained by the love of God. Let this idea that you are sustained by your Creator, let that idea sink deep into your consciousness. Repeat it. I am sustained by the love of God. Think about it. I am sustained by the love of God. Let related thoughts come to help you recognize its truth. I am sustained by the love of God. And allow peace to flow over you like a blanket of protection. Allow peace to flow over you like a blanket of protection. Allow peace to flow over you like a blanket. Allow peace to flow over you like a blanket. Allow peace to flow over you like a blanket. Allow peace to flow over you like a blanket. Allow peace to flow over you like a blanket of certainty. and protection and surety. Let no idle and foolish thoughts enter to disturb your beautiful mind. Let no idle or foolish thoughts enter to disturb your beautiful mind. You child of God, that's the kingdom of heaven. Let no foolish thoughts disturb your peace of mind. That's heaven. Having no fearful thoughts to disturb your peace of mind, that's heaven. Having no anger to disturb your peace of mind, that's heaven. Having no fear to disturb your peace of mind, that's heaven. Having no depression to disturb your peace of mind, that's heaven. That's the kingdom of heaven. That's the resting place where your Creator placed you forever. I am sustained by the love of God. 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 That doesn't mean you're sustained by loving God. That doesn't mean you are sustained by loving God. It means you are being sustained by the love of God. Your Creator loves you. That's why you're being sustained. It has nothing to do with your love for your Creator sustaining you. It's your Creator's love for you that is sustaining you. Transition. We're going to be on page 318 in the text. Well, actually, I'm going to start off with paragraph 4 on page 317, which will take us into 318. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to accept it. You don't have to welcome it. Some of it you may actively resist. Some of it you may find hard to believe. If you use it, you'll see that it's true. There is a part of you that likes to keep you upset with fear about something. That's called the ego. So when the Course says the ego, it's talking about the part of you that does you in. The part of you that thinks it's separate, alone, on its own, having to look out for itself, by itself, the separate self. And the Course says that the way that you keep your separate self going is through feeling guilt and fear, because guilt and fear and anger contract you and make you feel separate. So there's a part of the mind that's continually trying to come up with ways to keep you in conflict in order to maintain its separate identity, separate from God, separate from love, separate from peace. Now, the ego attempts to maintain and increase your guilt, but in such a way that you don't recognize what it would do to you. Because the part of you that doesn't love you, its fundamental doctrine is that what you do to others, you have escaped. What you do to somebody else is not going to happen to you. So there's a part of you called the ego that wishes no one well. Yet the survival of the part of you that wishes no one well, including yourself, depends on your belief that you are exempt from its evil intentions. In other words, there's a part of your mind that believes that you're guilty, that counsels that if you are host to me, I will enable you to direct your anger outward, thus protecting you. So what we're going to do is we're going to embark on an endless, unrewarding chain of special relationships forged out of anger and dedicated to the one insane belief is, the more anger you invest outside yourself, the safer you become. So there's a part of the mind that's always trying to teach us that the more you go off on everybody else and the more you attack everybody else, then the safer you're going to become. That's the part of the mind that's trying to maintain guilt, because guilt comes from attack. And so the way to maintain guilt is to continually believe that if you attack outside yourself, you're going to become safer. It's this chain that believes by getting upset and attacking everybody else and everything outside yourself all day is going to make you sane and peaceful, he says, that binds the Son of God to guilt. So what is keeping people feeling guilty, which attracts all pain, what keeps people feeling guilty that attracts all pain, is the belief that the more I project anger outside myself and attack outside myself and try to change everybody outside myself, the safer I become. The more a person believes that and acts from that, the more they maintain and increase their guilt. And the more they maintain and increase their guilt, the more things they attract to themselves that hurt them. Because all pain comes from guilt. So, this chain of trying to change everything outside of myself and projecting my anger outside of myself so that I'll be safe, it is this chain. Now check this out. The term the course uses is chain. I like that. You know, it's a chain of anger. And he says that the way you overcome the chain of anger is through the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit would remove this thought from your mind. So the Holy Spirit is nothing but, ta-da, the part of the mind is just the opposite of the ego. Just like there's part of you that does you in and tries to do you in, there's another part of you that absolutely is about your peace, your love, your harmony, your safety, your freedom, and your abundance, and your prosperity, and your healing, and everything else that's wonderful that you could imagine. There's a part of you that as much wants that and sees that for you as the part of you that wants to kick your butt by putting you in jobs you don't like, relationships you don't like, being afraid of this, depressed about this, sick about that, broken into by periods in which you go to a barbecue or something, and you feel good. There's another part of us that wants to free us from that chain of the more anger I project outside of myself, the safer I become. He says, and that's called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the part of you that absolutely loves you completely. So keep following along. You got the book. He says, for the chain of savagery, I like that. What jury? The chain of savagery belongs not around the chosen host of God who cannot make himself host to the ego. In the name of your release and in the name of him who will release you, let us look more closely at the relationships your fearful ego contrives, and let the Holy Spirit, let your loving right man judge these relationships that your fear is contriving more truly. I'll say it again. What's going to happen right now is that the right part of your mind now is going to closely judge and look at the relationships that you've contrived out of your fearful mind. Okay? See, I'm used to looking at my relationships from the perspective of my own fearful mind, but now I'm going to look at my relationships from the perspective of my loving mind. That's what's about to happen. You're about to hear what your relationships look like to anybody that's got some sense, and the way it looks to the part of you that has some sense. Okay? That's what's about to happen. Right now in this book, we're about to look closely at the relationships that we contrive that's based on the idea the more anger I project outside of myself, the safer I become, which is usually just another word for I'm getting mad and upset with people all day about something. That's all it is. It's just a fancy way of saying the way we deal all day long, broken into by periods where we don't. This is a very normal pattern of human behavior that this just described. I'm going to believe I'm going to be made safer by how much anger and upset I project outside and guilt I project outside of myself, so I'll be safe. I'll make you feel so bad you treat me right. I'll let you know how upset I am, so till you treat me right. I'm going to become safer by projecting my anger on you. And he says, this is a chain that binds your mind to guilt. But the part of you that loves you is going to free you from all this guilt and pain by now looking at the relationships you've made with you. And so now it's going to describe exactly how we do relationships, not just romantic relationships, all relationships. Here we go. He says it right here. He says, let us look more closely at the relationships the ego contrives and let the Holy Spirit judge these relationships truly. For it's certain that if you will look at what you've done in your relationships, you will gladly offer them to God. That if you really look at what you're doing to your relationships, you gladly offer them to love. She says, because what love can make of your relationships, you don't even know. You don't even know what love could do for your relationships. You don't even know what God could do for your relationships, but you'll become willing to find out. I'm willing to find out what love would do for my relationships instead of what I've done for my relationships. I'm willing to find out what God or love could do for my relationships. I'm willing to take a look at what love could do for my relationships. He says, but in order to look at what love could do for your relationships, in order to look at what God could do for your relationships, you must be willing first to perceive what you've made of your relationships. So before your relationship can be healed, you have to be willing to look at what you've made out of your relationship. Before your relationship with money can be healed, you have to be willing to look at what you have made out of your relationship with money. Before you can look at your relationship and have it healed that has to do with God, you have to be willing to look at what you've done to your relationship in order to have it healed. You have to be willing to look at what you're doing to yourself in order for it to be healed. You have to be willing to look at what you're doing to yourself in order to be healed. You have to be willing to look at what you're doing to yourself in order to be healed, because that's when you really get motivated. Now, here we go. Now, let's make this out of a person, because if we make it out of a person, it'll be really easy for me to illustrate this to you. Is it okay? Okay, here we go. All right, now, I'm an ego. Now, I want you to meet me. I'm an ego. Now, I'm an ego. That means I think I'm a separate person in a body that's trying to establish a relationship to get something, because I feel like I'm lacking in some way and I need something outside of myself to make me complete. So I am an ego. I believe that I'm guilty, and I believe that I'm afraid, and I really believe I have something good to offer, provided that you give it to me first. Okay, I really have a lot. I'm an ego. I'm totally afraid of love, and I run in the opposite direction of love, and I'm totally attracted to people who I have conflict with, and I'm totally unattracted to people who give me peace. I'm an ego. I spend all my time focusing on who upsets me and don't invest any of my time in the people I love. I'm an ego. I blame everybody outside of myself for what's going on in my life, including my race, sex, and childhood, and what I went through with as a child, and I'm an ego. It's everybody else's fault. Everybody else is to blame. And if everybody else would just change in some way, I'd be happy. Hello, I'm an ego. Hello, everyone.
Hello,
ego. Hey, say hello, ego. Now, I have something I want to share with you. I belong to you. I'm your ego. Okay, so I'm going to get, so he says in order for us to be healed, we have to be willing to look at what we're doing to ourselves, right? Okay, so by me representing what we do to ourselves without really knowing, and get that doo-doo in there. Yeah, for us to be willing to see what we do to ourselves, then you will then be ready to experience what God and love can make of all your relationships. In other words, you will be ready to receive your healing when you're willing to see what you've done to your relationships yourself. Are you willing to do that?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you're not asked to like it or believe it. Is that okay? Some of y'all gonna like it though. Okay, so in one way or another, every relationship I make is based on the idea that by sacrificing myself, I'm going to become bigger. Now, this sacrifice, which I regard as purification, is actually the root of my bitter resentment. Because the truth is, as your ego, I really believe in sacrifice. I believe that the more I sacrifice, the more I don't allow myself to have love, and the more I give up what I want, the bigger I'm going to become. Because I believe love is sacrifice. So the more I give up my happiness for everybody else, the happier I'm going to become.
Yeah.
Because this is my purification. I am willing to suffer in order to be purified. Okay? So that's the root of my bitter resentment, is that I'm always giving up my happiness and not really doing what I want to do for somebody else. The truth is, as an ego, I would really prefer to attack you directly to avoid delaying what I really want. which is I need, what I really want is a fearful, guilty mind. What I really feed on is a fearful, guilty mind. It's more fear and guilt. So what I really need is more and more people mad at me, upset with me, criticizing me, judging me, because I don't believe that I'm worthwhile anyway at some subconscious level. So what I need is more abuse, and what I need is more criticism, and what I need is more judgment. I need some guilt. I'm a fearful person, it's insecure, so therefore I need guilt and fear, because that's the emotion I feed off of, because I'm a fearful, guilty person. I'm an angry person, I feed off guilt and fear and anger. I'm an angry person, I feed off judgment and separation and lack. I'm angry. So that's what I really want. I really want more pain, more loss, more disappointment, because that's what I think I deserve anyway. So I'm going to overlook everybody that would give me some love, and I just only see the ones that abuse me, because I need abuse from the ego. I'm being purified through all this suffering I'm going through, you know. I'm going to suffer so much money that one day I really believe I deserve to be happy. Because look at what I went through. I've been purifying for 20 years in that relationship. It's been hell for 20 years. Look how long I've been purifying. You know, it's time for me to have a good time. So suffering and sacrifice is nothing but the purification process of a guilty mind. Now, then it says, now, I would prefer to attack directly and avoid delaying the guilt that I really want. Yet the ego, me, the fearful part of everyone, acknowledges reality as I see it. And so I recognize that no one would interpret direct attack as love. Nobody's going to look at it like if I directly attack them, that is love. So do you know that to make guilty is direct attack? To make guilty is direct attack, although it doesn't seem to be. It doesn't seem to be, but making guilty is direct attack. Although it doesn't seem to be, making guilty is direct attack, even though it doesn't seem to be, for the guilty expect attack. Somebody that's guilty expects something to go wrong. Somebody that feels guilty expects things not to work out. Somebody that feels guilty is always expecting things not to be fine for them. A guilty mind is never expecting something good to happen. The guilty mind expects attack. So if a person is walking around always expecting things to go wrong, that's how they know they're acting from their guilty mind, because the guilty mind always expects the person that they're with not to be the right person, the situation not to be the right situation. It's always something wrong. It's always something going to go wrong. It's fearful, fearful, fearful. So a guilty mind is a fearful mind, and it walks around expecting attack and is defending against it all the time. Having asked for it, they are attracted to it. So whatever you're asking for is what you are attracted to. So if you want to know what you're asking for in your heart, ask yourself, what am I attracted to? And you'll know what you're asking for. Because people ask, well, how do I know what I'm asking for? Just check out your attractions. Because all of your attractions are your subconscious requests to the universe for what you want. If you're attracted to a person that's full of conflict and attack and criticism and judgment, you're asking for criticism, attack, and judgment. That's why you're attracted to them. A person who doesn't know how to give you love and give you affection, and they deny you of the love and the affection and the attention, that's because at a subconscious level you're asking to not receive the love and the attention that you want. The best way in the world to make sure you don't receive what you're asking for is to go where it's not found to find it. I guarantee you, I can say that in utter confidence today,
yeah,
that if you want to guarantee that you don't receive what you want, please go where it's not located. And you will not receive it. So if you find yourself continually in situations and circumstances and relationships where you're not receiving what you want, it's because you don't want it at a subconscious level. I didn't say conscious. I said a subconscious level. Okay? Now check this out. So, if you're guilty, you expect to be hurt. So therefore, you have asked for hurt because you're expecting hurt. If I'm coming over your house and you say you're expecting me, well, that's the same as saying you've asked me to come over. Right?
Yes.
You're expecting me.
You're asking me to come over.
If I expect the worst to happen, I'm saying the worst, come on over. Okay, then I am attracted to it because I feel guilty at some subconscious level and don't believe I deserve to have the peace that I'm asking for. So I am attracted to what does not give me what I want, and I am repelled by what does. Take a breath with me.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Any questions about this so far, or comments about this so far? We're learning how the fear of the ego operates.
Comment.
Yeah.
How many Jewish mothers does it take to change a light bulb?
I have no idea.
None. Never mind, Sonny. I'll just sit here and read my paper in the dark.
Thank you.
Act your guilt.
Thank you. I'm with you. They are trying to make themselves bigger by sacrificing. Look how great a mother I am. Look how much I sacrificed. Look at what a great father I am. Look at what a great friend I am. Look at how much I sacrificed for my friends. I believe that by sacrificing myself, I become bigger. It's a perverted way to try to raise your self-esteem. It doesn't work because you bitterly resent the people that you're sacrificing your happiness for, especially if they don't seem to be doing it back. Now, if you're doing it and they're not doing it, that's when people really get mad. You know what I'm saying? And that's the problem with somebody who's sacrificing for you. Even if you don't intend to sacrifice, they will begin to resent you for not making the same sacrifice they're making. And they'll call you selfish, and you're just going, no, I don't want to do that. You're selfish. No, I just don't want to do that. Anybody else? That was powerful. Okay. I don't mind that dissecting it and killing it. Okay, here we go. And he says that the Course in Miracles has a term that he uses to describe our special relationships. He calls them insane relationships. Okay, that's the holy name for our relationships from a Course in Miracles perspective. What does God call them? Insane relationships. Now what is an insane relationship? An insane relationship is a relationship where the attraction of what you don't want seems to be much stronger than the attraction of what you do want. So if you're always in a relationship that you look like you're attracted to what you don't want, rather than it's a relationship where you're attracted to what you do want, then the truth is you're in an insane relationship. Whatever kind of relationship you're in, if it's something you don't want, it's an insane relationship. Because each one thinks that he sacrificed something to the other and hates him for it. Yet sacrifice is what he thinks he wants. The truth is a guilty person isn't in love with the other person at all. The guilty person just believes that they're in love with sacrifice. Okay, so I'm not really in love with you. I just love sacrificing.
Yeah.
I'm not really in love with you. I just love putting myself through all the changes that I put through in relationships. I'm not in love with you. I'm just really in love with my feeling of confusion and loneliness. I'm not really in love with you. I'm in love with my pattern. That's why I have it one person after another person after another person. It's my pattern that's faithful to me, not to people. It's my pattern I love. You just another person to act out my pattern with. Give me your phone number, please. I need to act my pattern out tonight, hopefully. Instead of a booty call, it's a pattern call. Oops, I forgot grown folk in the house. You can say anything around young people. Grown people are the ones that got all the jewelry. Okay. I'm telling you, the most honest, upfront, real, kind of honest kind of expression I've ever experienced teaching the course was with some teenagers.
Yeah.
Because they want you to bring it straight. Adults, you have to like tiptoe around. Mm-hmm. Make sure you don't say this, they might offend them, and that they might offend them. And you don't say it because we got so many beliefs. Yeah. See, I'm not talking about you all. No. Y'all know I'm not talking about y'all, right?
God.
No, I know y'all the most open-minded people that could ever come in a door. Is this right?
Yeah.
You pride yourself in your open-mindedness, right?
Yeah.
Not only that, but I can give you the open-minded test. The open-minded test is this.
Do you think you know all there is to know?
Hell no.
Then you're open-minded. Okay, that's the test.
Like Act 15.
Yeah. Like what?
Some of us
just
like 15.
Yes, that's cool. Please, I think that's great. I think 15 is a great age. So let's go a little bit further. Now, do you understand that when you feel guilty, it's a request for punishment because we don't think guilt is a good thing? Guilt usually means we think we've done something wrong. So the mere fact that you're feeling guilty means at some level you're expecting attack.
Yes.
And so then, therefore, the ones you expect the punishment, you're attracted to the people and situations and circumstances that give you pain so that you can give yourself the punishment that you need in order to purify and make you innocent again. Because the ones you've been punished for what you feel guilty about, the slate is clean. So what you're doing is you're trying to purify yourself through suffering because you think that something you've done is wrong. And when you hurt because of what you've done, you're freed again. So a man that thinks it's guilty believes that it deserves to be punished. So therefore, it's always looking for what hurts it, and it's attracted to that and not attracted to anything that's peaceful.
And then it's amazing we found you. When you do all that, it's amazing that we found you.
I know what you mean.
When we do all that.
That's how we know that the Holy Spirit, which is the part of us that knows we're innocent, and the part of us that knows we deserve to be loved, and the part of us that knows we deserve to be happy, there must be a part of us that's like that, because it certainly isn't the guilty ego part of us that brought us to this gathering. This is not the gathering that your guilty mind would bring you to. Your guilty mind would take you somewhere where they're telling you you're going to hell. And then you give them 10% of your income to be told that. And that's what I call. And that's what I call mind control. I tell you, I wish I had that kind of power. You low-down bastards, huh, Earl? Here, all my check. That's power. That's power.
Yeah.
I tell people I love them, I might not make my rent. Weird world we live in. Okay. It's wild. It's wild. Thank God I'm sustained by the love of God. Because if you know you're sustained by the love of God, then you can give love fully, and you can give love fully without worrying about what you receive in return. Because you know you're sustained by the love of God. You can't really follow the true path in peace unless you know you're sustained by something greater than yourself, because you'll be walking a path that's unfamiliar to you.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to have guidance, and you have to believe in yourself, and you have to believe that you're innocent enough to deserve this better life that you're trying to give yourself. But before we can get there, we have to be able to see clearly what we made out of our relationships and learn how the guilty, fearful mind works. And so the Course says that you're in an insane relationship when the attraction of what you don't want seems much stronger than the attraction of what you do want. And each person thinks that he has sacrificed something to the other person and hates them for it, yet this is what they think they want. The fearful, guilty mind is not in love with the other person at all. The fearful, guilty mind merely believes that they're in love with sacrifice.
Yeah.
And for this sacrifice, which you're demanding of yourself, by the way, nobody's asking you to do it. You're the one that's deciding to sacrifice. And because you decided to sacrifice, you demand that the other person accept the gift and sacrifice themselves too. If I'm sacrificing myself, you better sacrifice yourself. I know I wasn't asked to make the sacrifice in the first place. I'm just doing it because I feel guilty. But I'm feeling guilty, and I'm in an insane relationship with you where I'm going to keep sacrificing my happiness. Doggone it, you better stay in this insane relationship with me and sacrifice your happiness too.
Yeah.
He says, forgiveness becomes impossible. He says, because the ego, the fearful mind, the guilty mind, believes that to forgive another is to lose him. Hey, if I forgive you, you won't just go do it again. So I can't forgive you, because if I forgive you, you might make yourself happy. You might do what you want. If I don't make you feel guilty for doing what you want to do, then you might just do what you want to do. So I got to constantly let you know how upset I am, so that you will maintain the control over you that I need to do, because I need you to stay here so I can sacrifice for you. I mean, what's the point of sacrificing if you're not here to receive it? So the insane, fearful mind believes that it's only by attacking without forgiving that the fearful mind can ensure the guilt that holds its relationships together. So a fearful, guilty mind tries to hold all its relationships together by attacking without forgiving. I think if I hold this grievance and never forgive you, I can always keep us together. I think if I attack you and criticize you and judge you, you're going to want to be with me. If I let you know how I'm constantly dissatisfied with you in every way, you will want to try harder. to please me. Doesn't that sound insane when somebody just says it back? But can't you agree with me that's exactly what the average human being does? Okay, that's why the Course is true, y'all. You don't have to be psychic to see the truth of the Course in Miracles. The Course in Miracles is right in your face. It's always talking about what we do all the time. But it says that when someone says back to us what we do and how we think, the Course says we actually can't understand it. That it's so insane to us that even we don't understand it. And if you're in your right mind right now, you're sitting up here in your loving right mind, what I'm saying to you sounds insane to you, doesn't it?
Yes.
Why would it sound insane to you now? It sounds insane to you now because you're not in the same mind that usually thinks that way, looking back at the way you normally think, seeing what the way what you think about yourself is doing to you so that you can finally be shown how to have the kind of relationship you want. So it's like first I'm over here looking at myself. I am the Earl that walks out here and wants to make people feel guilty and fearful in order to work my will at some level through me always being angry and upset and judging everybody and wanting them to change. Then all of a sudden I go into the Course in Miracles and I become the Earl that's looking back at that Earl and looking at the way that he thinks and looking at him judging people and criticizing people and thinking that they're going to love him because he judges them and tries to manipulate them and get them to do what he wants them to do. Now I can only see that Earl from my right mind, my Holy Spirit mind, and my sane mind. And when I do, it looks crazy. And that's why it looks crazy to you, because now you're in your sane mind hearing about your insane mind. You're in the state of consciousness that you're reading about. That's why when you leave, you don't remember being here. I've lost millions of students over the years. They come and they never come back. It's not because they didn't enjoy it. They just forgot they came. I heard you go to Earl Purdy class all the time. What did he say? I don't know. You just need to come. I could tell you, but I don't know how to explain it. But just come, you know. It's because you're in your sane mind listening to the same Course. And then we leave out of here and then we become that person that's still believing that the more anger we invest outside of ourselves, the safer. We become that joker. We walk right out the door and become this thought.
Yeah.
And what the Course is showing you is that you are not this thought. That's why you can look back at it and see what you're doing.
Yeah, wow.
You don't have to become that because it's not you. It's just an idea you have about yourself that you are identifying with. It's like me having an idea about myself that I'm a clown. And then all of a sudden I become one. Because that's really what I think I am. I'm not really an elephant, but I could act like one and I could believe I was one. And I could believe I was one to such an extent that I actually thought I'm an elephant. And then I started looking for some hay. And trying to get plastic surgery to make my nose long. Because I'm trying to be something I'm not. So my life would immediately become a struggle because I'm not an elephant. So if I try to live an elephant's reality, I will suffer severely. So the way you can tell when you're not being yourself is that you're suffering severely. You're hurting, you're afraid, you're dissatisfied. That's the first clue to let you know that you're not being who you are. The reason why you know you're not being who you are is because you're not happy. Completely. Completely, 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 completely. Course in Miracles does not play into that temporary happiness, it's real happiness stuff. Doesn't even play that game. If you're not feeling happiness that only increases and never ends and ever expands, you don't know what happiness is. You just got a pleasant form of fear in a form that you like, and that's cool too. You're innocent. But that's not the real deal. The real deal would never hurt you. The real love would never attack you. The real love would be totally satisfying. The real love would evoke total appreciation. Real love would make you feel safe. Real love would make you feel open. Real love would make you communicate. If it's real love, then you don't have no fear. If I'm looking at you and I really want to communicate from my heart to you, but I'm afraid to do it, there is not love between us. There is fear between us. There is fear between us. And if we knew it was fear between us, we could get rid of it and finally get to the love between us. But as long as we keep calling the fear between us love, then I'll never get to the real love. As long as we keep calling what we're doing love, we'll never get to the real love. He says, now, It's only by attack without forgiveness that the fearful mind believes that it can ensure the guilt that holds all its relationships together. I will make you feel too guilty to leave me. I will make you feel too guilty to leave me. I will make you feel too guilty to leave me. I will make you feel so guilty you do what I say. He said that's what holds the fearful mind's relationships together. He said, but guess what? These relationships only seem to be together. He said, for relationships to the fearful, guilty mind, the ego, for relationships mean only that bodies are together. You can always tell when you're dealing with a relationship or you're seeing a relationship where it's just two fearful minds together instead of two minds that are in love. Because if they're two fearful minds, then they're just satisfied that their bodies are together. Just since your body, I can see your body over the soul there on the sofa, and you can see my body over here on the chair, so that means we have a relationship. As long as our body is under the same roof, we have a relationship. As long as our bodies are sitting next to each other moving, we have a relationship. As long as our bodies are together, we have a relationship to the fearful mind. He says it's always this that the ego fearful mind demands. I want your body right by mine. I want your body with me. I want your body with me. I want your body. Where's your body? Where's your body going? What your body going to do? I want your body. What? Don't you get about my body. That's my body. I want your body. It's all about your body. Give me your body. Give me your body. Give me your body. I want your body. You know, if a man just walked through you and just said, I want your body. You go in the other direction, but he's probably being incredibly honest. I want your body. I want your body to be here with me. We don't have to ever talk. We don't have to ever communicate. We don't have to share no goals. We don't have to have anything in common. We don't have to be using our relationship to grow. I just want your body right here. And it can be a little dog body. You can be that way about your dog. Your dogs and your cats and your bird bodies. You think, well, I'm beyond that, but if a little fire don't go out the door, you'll be out the die. Oh, what do you have? What do you have? I want my body. I'm going to have that dog body over here. Just about the body. I want my car body. Where's my car body? Let me get some insurance for my car body. Make sure nobody take my car body. You see what I mean? It's any of these things that we feel like has to be with us for us to have a relationship. But what got me over a lot of stuff around material things in my car, you know, I love my car. You know, have you ever had a car you love and you would like want to wax it and wash it? Well, if it's not a car, you got something else. It might be a pair of shoes. But you got something you think you love that's material. So you're not above what I'm talking about. You have a car? Oh. Yeah, but you love yogurt. You know what I'm saying? So we all got our thing outside of ourselves that we love. But the thing that's so cool about it that cured me was that I realized as much as I loved that car, somebody else got behind the wheel, my car would run over me.
Yeah.
My car wouldn't go, that's Earl, I'm not going to kill Earl, and then swerve over to the right. My car wouldn't do that. My car would run me over. And yours would too. So when you got to realize, if you're in love with your stuff, you're in love with something that can't love you back. But if you're in love with me, you're in love with something that can love you back. There's nothing more important than the relationships we have with each other. That's the only one that something's going to be given and received. But what we protect the most is our relationship to our things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not nothing in my apartment that would take care of me if I got sick. Now all my friends, I could just see my refrigerator getting together with my stove saying, now when are we going to come and see what we can do for Earl? Let's make him a pie. Refrigerator go, I can get some ice cream. You know, none of that's happening. They let the next tenant come in my apartment and use them. That's, you know, they have horror appliances. So anyway. No, I'm going to be so over the top that the only people left in my classes are the people like me. And you're talking about some folks. Now, I might be sad about making my bills in the meantime. But when I get to the other side, when I get to the mountaintop, little black boys and little white children, you know, we're going to get to the promised land. But you can't get to the promised land if you're surrounded by people that you can't be yourself around.
That's right.
You can't do it.
Yeah.
You can't do it, because then you have an insane relationship where you're attracted more to what you don't want than what you do want, and you'll never feel innocent about yourself without acceptance within and without. And if you're surrounded by people who judge you and criticize you, how can you possibly get in touch with your innocence, because you're constantly being condemned by their attitude towards you. So if you are expecting and feeling within yourself that you are not worthy, you're going to purposely seek out and be attracted to someone who's going to judge and criticize you so that you can be purified. That's your purification. That's the suffering you think you need to go through in order for you to deserve to be happy again. It's called the relationship I'm suffering in. That can be on a job, that can be personal, that can be a friendship, that can be with yourself. If you wake up in the morning and you try to sacrifice yourself, if you wake up in the morning and you just want your body to be with you, but you don't have no relationship to your body, you're not using your body for anything other than vanity. You're not using your body to be a means to communicate and to help you and to aid you in recognizing the love that you are and sharing and giving that love. Then that's making the body an idol. It's one thing to dress up because you want to express your joy and exuberance with the world and you want to share. It's a symbol of your pride and how good you feel about yourself. And you kind of go out there and catch some fish. See, going fishing ain't the same as sharing. You see what I mean? So the course light just kind of calls it like it is. So we can't get through it without laughter. I can't get as deep as I want to get if I have to be serious all the time. You can't get into deep teachings if you want to be serious about them. You get into deep teachings if you start to learn how to laugh at yourself. Because if you can't laugh at yourself, you're going to beat yourself up when you read this. I guarantee you, you're going to hate this book if you can't laugh at yourself. Because it's not really you. It's just a you that was made up based on your past learning and experience. That's all it is. It's just an idea. Your personality is nothing but something made up. And you can change it anytime you want to. That's power. When you realize you can change your own personality, you're getting in touch with your power. The problem is the older you get, the more you identify with your personality. And so then you forget that you have the power in any instant to change the way that you express yourself and then give yourself a new life. You call it your habits. That's another name for tomb. Okay. T-O-M-B. Okay, y'all, you with me?
Yeah.
All right. Now, everybody's all about supporting me and being myself so you can be yourself. Say, ah. Okay, that's cool. I need at least 5 people that I know really, really willing for me to be myself. I need to see your hands.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because if I see your hands, then when I become afraid, then I know who to look at in the room and who to ignore. All right, so I can look at you and I can say to Cheryl for me to just be whatever comes. I don't even know what it's going to be myself, because if I was sitting up here getting ready to predict who I was going to be, then I really wouldn't be spontaneous. Now, I used to plan to be spontaneous, but it's like somehow or another it didn't work. Okay, that means I don't even know what's going to pop out, right? So let's get an example of what I'm talking about. If you're in a fearful, guilty mind, then if you're with a fearful, guilty mind, it's going to demand that your body be there. And that's all it cares about is if your bodies are together. So a fearful, guilty mind doesn't object where the mind goes or what the mind thinks, because this seems unimportant as long as the body is there to receive the sacrifice, is content. That sounds like that's how people go, well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Okay, it's so obvious that we miss it. I don't care what you're thinking. I don't care what you're thinking as long as it doesn't take your body away from me. I'm not really interested in what you're thinking and what you're doing on Thursday night unless what you're doing on Thursday night may take your body away from me. I don't care about what you think unless you're going to think something that's going to take you from under my influence and my control. I don't care what you think unless you're thinking something that's going to keep you from being under my control and doing it the way I want you to do it and having your body right here with me. So I don't care whether you learned this Course in Miracles class, but I notice you're becoming much more independent, doing what you really want to do, not allowing yourself to be controlled, not sacrificing. Wait a minute, who's this real pretty guy? Because now I'm kind of concerned about what you're thinking, because your body isn't here and you're not making the sacrifice and you're not letting me make my sacrifices. See, I wasn't concerned about what you were doing until it looked like it might affect what your body was doing. Now do we see it? Isn't it amazing how it is? What we do all the time, right? But when it's read back to us, we go, what? What do you mean? You know why? Because in your sane mind, the way that we are is ununderstandable. It's so crazy to our sane mind that we'll go, what? What? That means you're in your sane mind right now. So it makes sense that you don't understand this right now. Okay? But the truth is, I would venture to say everybody in this room understands exactly what I just said. I don't care what you think unless what you think is going to take you away from my control, my influence, and keep your body from being with me. Every one of us are capable of understanding a statement like that. And I'm going to keep you by showing you my anger and displeasure with you. When you don't do it the way I want you to do it, then you will stay with me and I will have some control over you. Do we all recognize that? See, now the Course is saying that is not you. That is the way the fearful mind operates. And when we are willing to see how the fearful mind operates, then we'll be in a position to let our innocent, loving mind do its thing, which will bring us all of the kinds of relationships that we've always wanted in our hearts as long as we've lived that we know we deserve. So don't forget about how this movie's going to turn out. Don't get stuck halfway during the movie. This is just part of the movie. This isn't how the movie turns out. This is what you did to get to your peaceful relationships with everyone. You came to realize that you used to use guilt to manipulate people and anger to manipulate people. That is a necessary stage in the recognition of God and truth. And sometimes it can be a little overwhelming. Because you know you're going to leave here and I'm going to leave here and we're still going to want to do it. And we're still going to get angry. And we're going to come up with justifications for it. But now, every time it happens, we'll be a little bit more conscious of what's really going on. We might not be able to stop ourselves all the time. But at least you'll go, you know, I'm making them feel guilty, but I really know in my heart this is not the way to do, but I just can't help it. You know, I'm angry right now. I know there's another way to look at this where I would have peace right now instead of anger, but I'm feeling angry right now. But at least I'm aware that there must be another way of looking at it. That's a big improvement, because I used to have self-righteousness about it, and I knew that this was the way to be. See, now I might still do it, but at least I know there's a better way. That's a big step. Pat yourself on the back for that. That means you're waking up faster than you could have ever imagined. You don't know how much pain you're getting ready to save yourself. Because the Course in Miracles says conflict comes from not making a decision. A tortured person is an indecisive person. A tortured person is a person who can't make a decision is the most tortured soul that walks this earth. Because then you can't focus your energy in one direction and very powerfully, because you're torn between two different things. But when all your energy is focused on your decision, there's nothing to oppose you. So it's amazing how the universe cooperates with a person that's made a decision, because there's no opposition. You can decide to let God decide for you. You could decide to let the universe decide for you. You could decide to let the higher self decide for you if you don't know what to decide. If you say, "Decide for me, Holy Spirit," you pray for a job and you went on an interview and you were wondering they're going to call you back, and you say, "Decide for me, Holy Spirit." And they call you back the next day and say, "You didn't get the job." Then that means you were not supposed to have that job, and that job would not have brought you the joy and the peace that you deserve, that will come some other way that's not the job you decided on. That's what happens if you really believe you've given it to the universe. That means whatever happens after that, you believe that's part of the divine plan for your life. And so therefore you won't be walking around all miserably disappointed, because you gave it over. And if you gave it over, then whatever happened after that point was what the universe knew was best for you to have. I really am in love with this person. I really would like to have a relationship with this person. Holy Spirit, decide for me. God, decide for me. Higher self, decide for me. And then they meet somebody else that they want to be with. If you really meant that when you said, "Decide for me," you may feel some disappointment at a human level, but at another level, you know what? That would have been a relationship that would not have been for my own best interest. So therefore, I know it was to my benefit that this person met somebody else, because I had asked Holy Spirit to decide for me. So either you can decide for yourself, or you can allow Holy Spirit or your higher self to decide for you. But either way, you'll have more peace than being indecisive. Got it? I'm going to finish this paragraph. Woo, it's so much fun. Okay, so I don't care what you do and what you think, unless it's going to take you away from me and take your body away from me. Because what you're thinking is unimportant unless it's going to take you away from me. So as long as your body is here to receive my sacrifice, I'm content. So to the ego fearful man, the mind is private and only the body can be shared. People will share their bodies faster than they will share their real thoughts. So to an ego, it's all about sharing the bodies. How much our bodies are going to be together, how much our bodies are going to be doing things together, how much our bodies are going to be going to movies, going places, going hiking, going watching DVDs. It's all about our body. And the course is saying that, but guess what? I spent the whole evening with you. But you don't know what I'm thinking, you don't know what I'm feeling, and you don't really know who I am, and you don't really know what's going on, but you do know what happened on that movie. But you don't know me. So to the fearful mind is not concerned about sharing thoughts. The thoughts are private, but the body can be shared, right? That's what we're doing right now in most cases. We're sharing our bodies. Our bodies are here, but our minds are private. Okay, he said that's the way the ego works. And so it says right here that ideas are basically of no concern except as the ideas bring the body of another closer or farther. So the only ideas I'm concerned with is the ideas I can come up with that's going to bring your body closer to me. The only ideas I'm concerned with is the ideas that's going to get your body closer to me. He says, ideas I have no concern except, is this idea going to get me what I want? The idea that's going to get me what I want outside myself, that's the only idea that's of concern with me. The only ideas that are important to me are the ideas that will bring your body closer to me. And it is in these terms that the fearful man evaluates ideas as good or bad. In other words, what makes another guilty and holds them through guilt, that's a good thought. That's a good thought. That's a good idea. And what releases the person from guilt is a bad thought, because the person would no longer believe that bodies being together was enough, and so they would be gone. If I release you from guilt, if you stop staying with me after guilt, if I stop making you feel guilty, which is what's keeping you in my life in the first place, is my anger and my guilt and making you do what I want you to do. Well, if I didn't do that, you wouldn't be with me at all. Because you realize we really didn't have any real communication and any real relationship. So I know that if I don't keep you through guilt, you're going to let this go, because you're going to realize how unreal it is. Because nothing real is happening. If I can keep you focused on my body, you'll maybe overlook the fact that me and you haven't really communicated thoughts in days and weeks and months. So what makes you feel guilty and keeps you under my control is good. What releases you from guilt is bad, because then you realize how unreal the relationship is that we have between each other. No real communication going on with each other, and so you are gone.
Yeah.
So I'd like to complete by saying what you just heard was the way a fearful, guilty, insecure person operates. What you just heard is the way that your own mind operates when you are afraid and insecure and feeling guilty. You just got outside of your own ego so that it could stop being able to control you in any way. You have no idea the gift that you received tonight in terms of how it could take pain out of your life in a way you never dreamed of. It's important not to take a psychic sledgehammer out and beat yourself up if you recognize that these are things that you sometimes do yourself. It's very important for you to understand that the fact that you could sit here and listen to me say this to you means you no longer want to manipulate through guilt and anger and fear. That you really want to go beyond separation.
All right.
That's why you heard that tonight. Mm-hmm. You heard this tonight because you are loving.
Yeah.
And because you are getting in touch with your loving, mm-hmm. innocent nature. Someone who still wants to act out these scripts they don't hear it. They couldn't have heard what you heard tonight, because they are what you heard tonight. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It'd be like asking a fish to describe the ocean. You see what I'm saying? But the fact that you could hear me describe it and you go, oh my God, that really is a call for love. That's a trip. That means you are beyond this level of consciousness. And the only thing you are experiencing right now is nothing but a pattern of behavior that has become a habit that no longer has any roots in reality. You've already uprooted your guilt. You've already uprooted your fear and insecurity. What you're looking at now is nothing but the old habit of looking forward and feeling that way. And so the pain and the suffering and the conflict will gradually fade out of your life now. And while it's beginning to fade out of your life, the trick now for us is to not be fooled by the periodic, unexpected times when that old reflection of our ego still comes up, sort of like a leaf twirling in the wind away from you. It will light anywhere while it's twirling, but it's twirling away from you. So you'll be peace, anger, peace. See what I'm saying? Your ego is twirling away from you, but it will still sometimes light in your life, and you'll be tempted to believe you really haven't changed, but you have. Thank you. Thank you.
So powerful.
Thank you. All right.
Mercy, I think.
We're going to do the love offering. Thank you for sharing with me financially. Thank you for sharing with Unity Temple. Thank you for supporting what's supporting you. Thank you. Is that no matter how much you're with them, they still are polite. It means you have not developed very much intimacy in that relationship. Or a relationship where every time you're with the person, it's just like it's the first time. You know, sometimes you get together and have incredible experiences, and then the next time you see each other, it's just like you never spent that time together. They're almost polite. Yeah, it's like every time you meet them, you start all over. And then you have those other relationships that the course is trying to move us to, where this person sees your innocence and your happiness and your peace as intricate to theirs. And so therefore they want you to be free from their heart, because they know that's exactly how they will be free in their heart. So they'll be looking out for your freedom as much as they're looking out for their own. They'll be looking out for your peace as much as they're looking out for their own, because they know that your peace is their peace. That's the person you can have fun with. You might make a mistake with each other, but you generally have that mistake corrected. It doesn't mean because you're with them, they may not ever call you on something that you're doing. But at the root of whatever they share with you, you're going to feel no judgment, and you're going to feel safety, and you're going to feel like the person really cares about you in a healthy way. That's where we're moving. We're moving to relationships where you have no fear. Where you feel safe in a relationship where you know that nothing can touch it. Nothing can destroy it. Okay, so let's take a couple of minutes to bring the plane on into the airport. Try to walk out of here with the thought that as best you can, you're going to become conscious of trying to project your anger outside of yourself in order to make yourself safe. Make the decision that you want to become more conscious of any attempt on your part to manipulate someone through guilt and anger, which isn't the same as saying you can't communicate your feelings, but just get in touch with why you are communicating these feelings and ask yourself, am I communicating this feeling because somehow or another I really am condemning this person and want them to change in some kind of way just for me? Am I really doing this because I really love them and I want the best for them? Is this really all about me and what I think I'm going through?
there's a part of you that's going to remove all the fear that you have from your innocent mind. There's a part of you that's going to heal you of all fears, all guilts, all weariness. There's a part of you that loves you totally and completely. There's a part of you called God that's indestructible and invulnerable. The first step to having the kinds of relationships that you've always dreamed of having is for you to be willing to perceive what you have made of your relationships in the past. Your being willing to look at what you have done to yourself will free you to be healed. Your willingness to look at what you have thought that was not correct will free you to be healed. Your willingness to look at the programming that you learn from the world that doesn't serve you will allow you to be healed, allow you to have the kind of peace and love and acceptance and trust that you deserve. You are loving, you are lovable, you are innocent, you are innocent, you are guiltless, you are sinless, you make mistakes, mistakes are for correction, your mistakes are for correction, mistakes are for correction, mistakes are for correction, not punishment, mistakes are for correction. Your mistakes will be gently corrected. 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 Any mistakes you've made in the past will be corrected. Any mistakes you've made in the past and you will be corrected. Any mistakes that you've made in the past will be corrected. Anything that you've done that you think has made you inadvertently hurt someone will be corrected. All mistakes will be corrected. You will be corrected gently. You will be corrected gently. You are a powerful and strong being because you are willing to listen to what the ego, the fear in your own mind, is trying to do. Now here's the good news before you walk out of the door. Here's the good news before you walk out of the door. Here's the good news before you walk out of the door. The good news is the fact that you were here tonight reveals that you have the true willingness and enough willingness to allow spirit to heal you and to take over for you. It means you have really uprooted most of your fear and guilt already. It means you have grown more than you think you have. It means you're more loving than you can conceive of. It means that you have progressed far beyond your wildest dreams and you don't know it yet. And I'm here to tell you that the process that you're in now is just a process where you're learning how to react to things as they fade away. You're just learning new ways to look at any kind of fear, guilt, or lack of loneliness while it fades away. Because you've already uprooted it. You've already uprooted your fear and guilt. It's already uprooted. And so now you're just learning new ways to deal with it as it fades away. Appreciate you.
Yeah. You don't have to run out.